Friday form for Brighton Mazda and the end of financial year extended clearance. Brighton Mazda are SUV central. BrightonMazda.com.au.
And it's a big happy Friday to Dean Lester, the world's greatest form analyst, who joins us again. And we thank you very much for that on a Friday. Dino, good morning.
Morning, Daniel.
Great to have you with us. Are you engaged in the golf, Dino? I know you're a big golf man.
Yes, I will through the morning for sure. Looking forward to it. And with all the Australians hitting off late, it's good.
Yeah, it's outstanding. It's the sort of stuff we're after. Absolutely. And no rock out this week, Dino. How have you coped with that?
A little bit flat, to be honest, Daniel. It's good appraising the musical taste of you two gentlemen. And yeah, it's been a bit flat, to be honest.
How are you feeling about that, Whitey? We haven't mentioned it.
I found it really difficult, to be honest. So the highlight of my week is sitting down on YouTube in an afternoon, just sort of flicking through, trying to find songs to play. It's left a real void in my life.
How did you feel when you realised you'd left, when you'd left Bound for Glory in the holster? How'd you
that was a real unforced error. That was a real unforced error. I can't remember the CD back in the day where I would have clearly purchased it from Brash's. But there was a CD that had Fired Up songs. The other one we didn't play was Pat Benatar, Fired Up.
Of course, yeah.
That which, CD. But there was a Firing Up CD.
It was called Playing to Win.
You were weighing up
Playing to Win, that's what it was called. That's exactly what it was called, that CD.
So yeah, Sia didn't make it onto that CD.
Sia was probably still at school at that point, just finding her way in life. But but I remember back when I played school footy, we would get that CD and you'd get the ghetto blaster type set up in the rooms and put it up really loud to try and fire ourselves up before a game, you know, that sort of. Or you get the mixtape and you'd put in your Walkman when you did the walk out onto the ground at halftime in the game before and try and fire yourself up.
Well, it's a long time out to be firing yourself up, halftime of the game before. Yeah. You carry that for a while.
You just get yourself in the zone. You got to get yourself in the zone, you know. Me personally, I used to buy a hot dog and have a can of Coke sort of half an hour before the game, but others were probably a little bit more professional.
We might try and get Craig on the buttons to try and get a bit of Pat Benatar all fired up for us to get the Friday form off on the right foot as we say hello to Nick Quinn from the Tab. Good morning, Nicholas.
Good morning, Daniel. I wasn't sure what Whitey was going to discuss before I was introduced, but that would have been very, very long odds, I think.
Well, music's been a real theme for us in the last couple of months, Quinny, on The Breakfast Club, for obvious reasons, through the rock out, and we've been involving you, although one thing I've sort of picked up through the journey, Quinny, is music's not really your thing. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate comment there, Daniel.
Right. So Pat Benatar all fired up.
No worries that they sound when the horses go onto the...
There's no better music, in my view, than the music that they used to play at Mooney Valley when the horses used to come out through the tunnel on Cox Plate Day. That's spine-tingling sort of stuff, Dino. We spent many years welcoming the horses to that music.
The haunting lilt as they came out onto the track. Yes, it was exciting.
Well, it's not Mooney Valley music tomorrow. We're at headquarters tomorrow for the major metropolitan meeting. That's what we do on the Friday form for first-time players. Go through the quaddy legs and a few other little specials from Dino and Quinny for the day's play. But let's have a look at the first leg of the quaddy team. The Group 3 Ori Star Handicap, the kick-off proceedings in the quaddy tomorrow. So lots of horses that we know, Dino. Good exposed form and a good chance to get our eye in early. We've got Great Again for Lindsay Smith as a favourite in this 11-horse field. In fact, there's been a scratching. Number 16, Yacht Fox, is outside the 10-horse field. But Great Again is favourite at $4 at tab.com.au.
And he should be, I think, Daniel. He's got race fitness on his side. He likes wet ground, and he's proven down the straight. So I think he's got a lot in his favour, Great Again. In saying that, it's a good competitive race. I think Sosie Bond, last year's winner, and what he did at the end of last campaign was become a bit of a winner. He loves wet ground. He's trialled up well. Home of the Braves, second in this race to Voodoo Lad a couple of years ago, and his runs down the straight have been good. The problem is he hasn't won since he's been in Australia, I don't think, or he certainly hasn't won these last 10 runs. And Widgie Turf, who'll be running on late, expect 1400s where he'll come into his own against these sort of horses, but he can be competitive. But, yeah, I think Great Again's the one to beat.
Great Again's the one to beat. Quinny, is Great Again the one to beat?
Great Again does hit the market at $4. So I think I'm on a little bit of a delay today. I'm not sure why. So sorry for cutting you off before. Home of the Brave, a 4.40 second elect. Widgie Turf on the next line of betting there at 5.50. Hightail, 8. Dean, I want to ask you about two runners. I'll ask both questions to stop going back and forth so we don't cut each other off. First is Trope, who's now with the new stable. An excellent interview yesterday with Michael Felgate, listening to Julius, and also Yulong January, who had that really good summer campaign, winning 4 on the bounce, and resumes here.
Yeah, Trope is, well, he's a talent, but he's won one race, and now with Julius Sander, and he has trialled okay, but I do like him better on drier ground as well. And Yulong January, he's just a terrific 1,400-metre horse, and I think he'll peak for those 1,400-metre races in, say, 4 or 5 weeks. There's the Sofitel at Flemington, and then the Rupert Clark Stakes. I think they're the races that we'll probably see him peak for.
So numbers, the way we do this for first-time players, we get Adam Ramanaskis to do something finally on the program, and he takes numbers for us, and he writes them down religiously, and he sends them in the WhatsApp group a little bit later on. Rama, first leg numbers, please, for the quaddie tomorrow at Flemington.
5, 1, 2, and 4.
5, 1, 2, and 4 for the first leg. Let's have a look at the second leg over the 2,000 metres. It's a benchmark 78 affair. And there are 13 going around Dino. When you look in the middle of the field, we see Chris Waller bringing a couple down or having a couple in this this meeting tomorrow. Skyman is second up after a first up victory and very strong in the market at $2.80 at tab.com.au.
Yeah, probably in total opposite to how he presented first up in the market when he won at Flemington. Caulfield, I should say. He was very good odds there, $26. The race was set up for him to run well, the way he just sat on the back of the main chances. But, gee, he was impressive. And I think he's a good winning chance again. I think fair chance Chris Waller will win it, whether it be with Skyman or Kentucky Tornado, who I thought ran very well first up at Sandown. The extra distance will suit. Little chances to De Niro, who just had absolutely no luck last start. Loves soft ground. Any more, the rain would be a bonus for him. And Cadre du Nord, first run in Australia for the Mar Eustace stable, yielded a pretty good run at Moonee Valley. Now, that was the Ballarat meeting that was transferred to Moonee Valley, so this is a stronger race, but does handle a wet. So I think they're the main chances, but it's a good chance that Chris Waller will win the race.
Actually, what for our punters out there listening, Dino, what sort of surface are you doing your form on at the moment for tomorrow's meeting?
Look, I think it's rated a soft 6 at the moment, but with continual rain, it's got to be close to a... I'm thinking a genuine soft track, maybe borderline heavy. So if we certainly get the rain that's predicted over the next 24 hours.
Okay. All right. So that's something to keep in mind for the punters out there as well. Quinny, we've got a pretty firm favourite there for Chris Waller, but Dino's got a little bit of a sniff about his other runner as well in Kentucky Tornado. What's the market say?
Well, Kentucky Tornado, a $9 chance. The Skyman market, though, has been pretty popular. $4 into 280, heads the market from Cape Noir, who's a 6.50 second elect. De Niro at 7. Dino, of the runners you've left out of the quaddie, Crimson Ace is the shortest one at Cranbourne at Mornington earlier in the campaign. It was well held at Flemington in the last start. You're obviously taking on Crimson Ace.
Reluctantly, because I actually think she's better suited back to 2,000 metres. Her last few runs have been over longer trips, but that's the thing, whether she'll be sharp enough at the end of 2,000, coming off a 2,800 metre run. But I do think the actual distance suits her a bit better.
All righty, good news for you too, Quinny, is that that delay has been eradicated with that reset, so well done to you. Good stuff. So you can just jump in anytime you like.
Bad news for you.
No, it's great to have more of you than less of you, Quinny. We love you here in the Friday form. You know that. Rama, what are the numbers, please, for the second leg of the quaddie?
5, 8, 10, and 9.
5, 8, 10 and 9. So that means we're two winners in. We know just two more to go. And race 8 gives us a chance to continue our momentum. A benchmark 90 affair over the 1,000 metres at headquarters tomorrow. And another good, decent-sized field. Not capacity fields tomorrow, Dino, but decent-sized fields. Are you a bit surprised at the number of runners or the field sizes tomorrow?
Actually went back through the last few years, Daniel, and it's very much in keeping with the last 3 years anyway. I think there are 100 acceptors, and last year there was the same, and the 2 years prior was 97, 98. So it seems to be a bit of a constant at this meeting. It's really a transition meeting because next week we get into the PB Lawrence Stakes, the Vane Stakes, the Grisette Stakes. So this is probably the last chance for the restricted horses to be really racing regularly on a Saturday.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Good insight. So race 8 is 11 horses deep because we've had number 10 Messerschmitt for the Freedmans come out of the race. Someone scratching there. And Octane, Philip Stokes, Jamie Carr in the saddle. It's had a very nice campaign, Dino. Fourth on resumption and two wins back-to-back. The Tab have Octane very firm favourite at 280 tomorrow for the 1,000-metre sprint.
Yes, well, he's been a fascinating horse, Daniel, because he was a very, very high-priced yearling, $1.4 million. And as a colt and a half-brother to a horse that is very fond to me in the quarterback. And you know that with your breeding expertise, of course, Daniel.
Of course, yes, Serena. Serena's a dam.
That's correct. And that's it. Thank you, Daniel. It's a great visual on radio, and it was. It's a very good book, that one that you're holding up. Octane, I think, was sold very cheaply because he was going poorly as a colt, and he was gelded, he's won five of his last six. He's really putting it together, very much like his half-brother did, actually. He was a much better horse once he was gelded, and he's a good chance, Octane. I think there's a bit of a value chance here, too, in number 8, Spirit of Aquata, who was just basically in the wrong race last start at Weight for Age, level weights with Jungle Edge on wet ground. He was never going to be able to beat Jungle Edge, but he went okay, and his straight form is terrific. That close-up run to Alpha Oro earlier in the preparation, it sticks in my mind, and he handles soft ground. So I'm just tipping him at a bit of odds, but I respect Octane. He's still very much a work in progress. He carries his head very high, and he's a bit awkward going, but he's a real talent. Chicago Cub is an absolute beauty down the straight and goes well fresh, handles the wet. There's plenty to like about him. He's trialled up okay. And Rock Prophet, this horse has improved a lot this campaign. His first up win was good, and his run at Flemington last start was excellent. That was beyond Wilmot Pass, who probably should have won easily last Saturday at Moonee Valley. So that form's okay. So good competitive race. Real interest around Octane, but I think there's a bit of value as well.
Well, I'm just having a bit of a look at the sneaky little value you've given us for Spirit of Aquata. Quinny, can you enlighten us as to the price of Spirit of Aquata? In fact, there's been movement just then.
Has been $23 into $16. So currently a $16 chance. Octane at $2.80 market leader. Dino, what sort of quote do you think Spirit of Aquata should be?
He should be, as I get that. That's a very good question you asked, Nicholas. I've got him marked about $6.50.
Oh boy. Well, when you mentioned it before, I was looking at the Tab website, Quinny. $18 it was, and as soon as he said it, it moved into 16. You said 23 initially, but 18 to 16 in the last 30 seconds.
That's what we call an early market mover. Still $4 a place. So considering Dino's got the horse rated $6.50 a win, I think that might be pretty popular as well. And Crimson Ace, Dino, a horse that's been racing in really good form, but you've left... Mr. Mowgli, a horse racing really good form. You've left out of the quad. He won at Flemington. Two starts to go, a beaten favourite behind Bumper Blast last start. Is there a little knock here on Mr. Mowgli?
Probably, I'm thinking they'll, you know, with the rail out 10 metres, they'll be centred to outside down the straight. So barrier one's always a challenge when you've got that. He actually overcame that to win two starts back, but that was a benchmark 78 level, and now he's got to do it at the benchmark 90. He ran pretty well last start, and that's the race that Snitzcraft comes through as well. It was a pretty bunch finish. If you were going wider, he might be next in line, but I'm pretty happy with the four we've got there.
Pretty happy with the four Octane we've got there.
Do you think Octane at about 280 is about fair, or do you think maybe should be a little better?
Look, only slightly better. I've got him marked $3. So, yeah, so he's around his right price.
Well, you've done a pretty good job there, Quinny. Well done. Not far off. We can just get the drift out a little bit, if you don't mind, just to help the punters that like Octane. But I reckon there might be a bit of investment in the number 8 here. Rammer, what are those numbers again, please?
8, 6, 2 and 12.
8, 6, 2 and 12. So we're three legs down. Spirit of Ricardo is coming to $16. I wonder if it's the Rammer Ruffy for this week. We'll have a bit of a squiz about that after the break. Find out what the last leg is so we can complete our quaddy. Get the formula bet for one of our lucky punters out there who's registered at rsn.net.au and find out the Rammer Ruffy for this weekend as well. And it's great to have Pat Benatar with us. She's all fired up, just like Dino what? And Quinny on the Friday form.
Why did we have this? This is ridiculous.
It's a nice pump-up song. Is it a rock-out song? I don't know.
Isn't a pump-up song a rock-out song?
No, absolutely not. Mm. Absolutely not. I think there's a difference. This is why we're having some issues with your selections. We need to get to a break. 23 past 7. We'll come back with the rest of the Friday form after this on The Breakfast Club. Yeah, absolutely have to spill the wine. Well, we prefer if you drink it, but sometimes you spill it on the way through. That's just the way things happen. That is the Freaked Out Flower Children on the Friday form on The Breakfast Club. Now, you may be asking, why are we playing the Freaked Out Flower Children? Because a prominent personality in her time was a part of the Freaked Out Flower Children. Dino, who was that prominent personality?
Sophie Lee.
Very good, Dino. You're the best at this. You are the best at this. Now, most people would remember Sophie Lee from her performance on the Bugs Bunny cartoons, What's Up Doc on Channel 9. She played Penny Wellings in The Flying Doctors. It was one of the stars
in The Castle.
The Castle and Muriel's Wedding as well.
Yes.
So she's had a good career. Sophie, good get, Dino. I'm so impressed by that. He's very, very cool. She's having a birthday today, Dino. You get first crack at this. How old is Sophie Lee?
I'm going the Hawaii 5-0.
5-0, 50 on the dot for Sophie Lee. Rammer?
Well, this is the problem. The 90s doesn't seem so long ago, but it's a long time ago. So I reckon she'll be 47.
47 for Rammer. Whitey?
52.
52 for Whitey. Quinny?
I'll go 53. I'll go 50. The overs.
Right, the overs. Well, you are
what
over.
What do you know Sophie from, Quinny? What would you remember Sophie from?
The Castle.
very safe
the
answer, that
Muriel's
one.
Muriel's Wedding.
Yes, great answer.
It was a Channel 9 television show she was also a host of.
Which one?
The Bugs Bunny Show, we'll call it.
Yeah, What's Up Doc?
Wasn't she? What was it called? It was a sex education show.
Oh, Adam, why'd you have to go there, you sicko? Goodness gracious.
Come on. That was a very high rating program.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
You don't remember that?
Oh, boy.
I do not remember that at all. Yeah, Dino, I'm sorry to put you through
that. Well, it was the elephant in the room. It had to be mentioned. Someone had to mention it.
And the other thing, she was a girlfriend of Mick Malloy at one stage.
She was too. I do remember that. I don't remember the education program that Adam's talking about, though. She is 52, though, Whitey, so you're right. Happy birthday to Soph.
Huh.
Hope she has a ripping day. All right, we're three legs into the Saturday quaddy at Flemington tomorrow. We've got one leg to go, Dino. We need the winner of this, obviously. We've got three winners. We need four for the quaddy. That's the game. We've got a full field. One scratching, Muzzlebrook, comes out. Number two, which means the first emergency gets a start tomorrow at this stage, and that, of course, is number 16, Antagonizer. Let's have a look at the market at tab.com.au because the favourite, Dino, is in the middle of the field again for the Busset and Young Yard. Savvy Lad at a barrier 3, 480 at tab.com.au second up.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a really good race for the four-year-olds here, Daniel. The recently turned four-year-olds taking on the older horses. And one of those is the horse you mentioned that's got a start in Antagonizer. I thought he'd had a bit of time between his second trial and his first up run, and I just think he needed that run. It was a really testing race at Sandown. He's got good Flemington form. He's got soft track form. Jamie Carter ride. I think he's a terrific chance here, Antagonizer. But I'm giving good chances to 7 Savvy Lad, who has very unlucky first up. He mid-race got a lot of interference, and that's the absolute peak of the late season three-year-old form behind Mystery Shot. So I respect him greatly. 9, Lord Markle. Won the race that I mentioned at Sandown that to antagonise and contested. I just think he got on the right part of the track, but he did a good job nonetheless. And Pinion, she just doesn't win very often. Her one run at 1400 was a good effort, and she'll be somewhere in the mix. I've got her next best, but yeah, I think it's a good race for these early season four-year-olds to dominate this race.
All right, so the emergency gets a bit of a look here, Quinny, which is always interesting because we're not quite sure sometimes how to play the emergency situation, but we're getting a run this time around. How did the market respond to that?
Has trimmed up ever so slightly, but still very nice odds antagonizer at $13 in from 15 and $3.10 the place. So I dare say that will be popular in the next couple of minutes on number 16 antagonizer. Savvy Lad, a 480 favorite. Pinion, a $5 second elect. Then we've got Lord Markle at $7.50. Just back to antagonizer, Dino. Two questions. Do you factor in the second up form as well? Because the two previous second up runs have probably been the two career best performances, a win at Bendigo and a Flemington placing. And currently $13, 12 to 1 in the old. What sort of quote do you think antagoniser should be?
Well, I do take in that second up form and seem to have done a lot of research on this horse, Nick. It's as though you've been tipping him as well.
Yeah, apologies for that.
Yes, he's got a look. Price wise, he still should be minimum $8, but yeah, he's a good each way chance at a price.
All righty. So let's have a look at those numbers, Ramo. Can you please go through them for the punters?
16, 7, 9, and 12.
You know what's happened? I've just got a text from a mate who said I've just woken up. I had a bit of a sleep in this morning, and I've just caught the last number there, 12. Can you help me out with their full set of numbers for tomorrow's quaddie, please, on the Friday form?
Yes, I can. Race 6, 5, 1, 2, and 4. Race 7, 5, 8, 10, and 9. Race 8, 8, 6, 2, and 12. And then race 9, 16, 7, 9, and 12.
All right, so they are your quaddy numbers. Check your local guides for more details. Of course, make sure you tune in tomorrow morning for the full set from Dino, updated information with scratchings and all on RSN 927. But that gives you a chance to get a bit of a cider on a Friday morning, getting ready for the Saturday quaddy. Dino, the formula bet today, who are we playing for and what have you got in store for us, please?
Joanne Gordon of Mitcham, and for Joanne, just going away from the real short price favourites tomorrow, and we'll have $40 on race 2, number 2, Galactic Fury, $40 the win on race 3, number 6, Cafe Rizou, and $40 on the all up of the pair, race 2, number 2, into race 3, number 6. That's for Joanne Gordon of Mitcham.
All right, good luck to you, Joanne. What does that come to, Quinny, please?
$3.50 the first leg and $6.50 the second leg. So nice odds available there on the Dino all up.
Righty-o, $3.50 into $6.50, if you don't mind, for race 3, 2, number 2, into race 3. Number 6, and if I got that right, that's about $22.75. Plus the multiplier, or multiplied by the multiplier, and who knows where that takes you at the Tab app. So good luck, Joanne, for your all-up, your formula bet with Dino tomorrow. All right, Dino, you mentioned race 8 number, what did you mention before? Race 8 number 8, Spirit of Aquata, is one of your selections in the quaddy today. Is that your Ramaruffi, or have you got something else for us?
No, I'm going to go to the last leg of the quaddie, Daniel. Race 9, number 16, Antagonizer is the best value. I think he's got a terrific chance at each way odds. I think they've both got good chances, but Antagonizer's the Rammer's roughie.
And what was that again, Quinny?
Well, it's just firmed again as we speak. So the money continues here for Antagonizer. Has been well backed. Now into $12 since then I gave the little push, and I must apologise because that's now back-to-back weeks. I've tipped the same horse in the Herald Sun as my value selection that Dino's made, the Ramaruffi. Thank goodness the Herald Sun is published first because not even I would believe I wasn't copying the great man.
So before the Friday form, Quinny, was there ever any movement in markets quite like we're experiencing here at the Tab now that we've got Dino doing his thing on Fridays?
It is quite extraordinary. I just want to know, Dino, do you have any interest in shares? Because if you could move the marketplace there as well, it'd be equally as profitable.
Nah, I leave that to much smarter the minds than mine. So hopefully, yeah, we just can get the horses right. That it's more immediate anyway. We can get a results quicker.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Hey, Dino, before we let you go, and you've done a great job for us again on the Friday form, all fired up. You might know this, and I don't know if you do, but I'll throw it at you. There's a couple of SMSs suggesting that All Fired Up is actually an Australian composition, first recorded in the 1980s by a Sydney pub band, Bengal Tigers, says Mark. And then the very next SMS that's come through says All Fired Up was written by the singer from Little Heroes as a Melbourne band. It's in Rod in Bendigo. Do you know much about the All Fired Up?
I don't know the backstory, Daniel. I remember Little Heroes, but I don't know the backstory.
All right, well, there's a couple of little contrasting messages there, but seemingly it's an Aussie song sung by the great Pat Benatar. And you've been all fired up for us today, and we can't wait to hear you all fired up tomorrow morning on RSN 927 and the build-up to a big day at Flemington, Dino. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff, Dean Lester, the world's greatest form analyst with us on the Friday form. Quinny, you've given a bit of a heads up into your selection, perhaps, for the punters. What is it?
Well, I won't be changing my selection to the last antagoniser, that's for sure. I do need to take a mulligan, though. Sorry, I gave Dino a bit of a spoil with his all-up bet. It comes to $16.10, so still an incredible quote, and hopefully can get the job done for his legion of fans, but not quite the 20-1 that I did just recently quote. But my best bet comes up tomorrow at Flemington, race 8, number 6, Octane. This horse absolutely flying at the moment, and I think we'll get the job done in the third leg of the quaddie. And I might be taking now a duet with Dino's selection, number 8, Spirit of Aquata.
A duet? Are they still going?
Australia's favourite bedtime.
God love you, Nicholas. We'll touch base with you a little bit later on. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, team.